History has failed us, but no matter. At the turn of the century, an aging fisherman and his wife decided to take in lodgers for extra money. Both were born and raised in the fishing village of Yeongdo, a 5-mile-wide islet beside the port city of Busan. In their long marriage, the wife gave birth to 3 sons, but only Huni, the eldest and the weakest one, survived. Huni was born with a cleft palate and a twisted foot. He was, however, endowed with hefty shoulders, a squat build, and a golden complexion. Even as a young man, he retained the mild, thoughtful temperament he'd had as a child. When Huni covered his misshapen mouth with his hands, something he did out of habit meeting strangers, he resembled his nice-looking father, both having the same large, smiling eyes. Inky eyebrows graced his broad forehead, perpetually tanned from outdoor work. Like his parents, Huni was not a nimble talker, and some made the mistake of thinking that because he could not speak quickly, there was something wrong with his mind. But that was not true. In 1910, when Huni was 27 years old, Japan annexed Korea. The fisherman and his wife, thrifty and hardy peasants, refused to be distracted by the country's incompetent aristocrats and corrupt rulers who had lost their nation to thieves. When the rent for their house was raised again, the couple moved out of their bedroom and slept in the anteroom near the kitchen to increase the number of lodgers. The wooden house they had rented for over 3 decades was not large, just shy of 500 square feet. Sliding paper doors divided the interior into 3 snug rooms, and the fisherman himself had replaced its leaky grass roof with reddish clay tiles to the benefit of the landlord, who lived in splendor in a mansion in Busan. Eventually, the kitchen was pushed out to the vegetable garden to make way for the larger cooking pots and the growing number of portable dining tables that hung on pegs along the mortared stone wall. At his father's insistence, Huni learned to read and write Korean and Japanese from the village schoolmaster well enough to keep a boarding house ledger and to do sums in his head so he couldn't be cheated at the market. When he knew how to do this, his parents pulled him out of school. As an adolescent, Huni worked nearly as well as a strong man twice his age with 2 well-shaped legs. He was dexterous with his hands and could carry heavy loads, but he could not run or walk quickly. Both Huni and his father were known in the village for never picking up a cup of wine. The fisherman and his wife raised their surviving son, the neighborhood cripple, to be clever and diligent because they did not know who would care for him after they died. If it were possible for a man and wife to share one heart, Huni was the steady beating organ. They had lost their other sons, the youngest to measles, and the middle, good-for-nothing one, to a goring bull in a pointless accident. Except for school and the market, the old couple kept young Huni close by the house, and eventually, as a young man, Huni needed to stay home to help his parents. They could not bear to disappoint him, yet they loved him enough not to dote on him. The peasants knew that a spoiled son did more harm to a family than a dead one, and they kept themselves from indulging him too much. Other families in the lands were not so fortunate as to have 2 such sensible parents, and as happens in countries being pillaged by rivals or nature, the weak, the elderly, widows and orphans were as desperate as ever on the colonized peninsula. For any household that could feed one more, there were multitudes willing to work a full day for a bowl of barley rice.